Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Linda Siegel will be with us with the first legislative update, and Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome William Albert Allard. His new book is a retrospective. It's called Five Decades, a retrospective. He's a photographer and Norman Mauskopf. He has a new book also called Descendants. A show of both of their work is opening tonight at 5 o'clock at the Verve Gallery of Photography on Marcy Street here in Santa Fe. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be here with you.
Great to have you both. So let's start with Bill. Bill Allard. You began working for National Geographic fairly early on. How did you start there?
Seems like a thousand years ago. Well, I came in over the transom, so to speak. 2 days after receiving my degree from the University of Minnesota, I started as a photographic intern at the magazine in Washington, D.C. And I was then married with four children, ages 1 through 4, and it was a summer job, and I managed to... At the end of the summer, going contract, and they asked me to join the staff.
What were some of your first assignments?
Very first assignment, and the one that really kind of put me on the map, was about the Amish of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I photographed them, and there are those who say that story kind of started the magazine turning in a slightly different direction. It became a more intimate magazine. Not because I did it on purpose, it's the only way I knew how to work. I was very straightforward, but I wanted to make contact with my subjects, and through that, develop more of an intimacy.
You're very much of a people photographer.
Yes.
What is it, I've always wondered, what does it take to be a good people photographer?
Well, you should have a high rejection threshold, because there will be people that don't want you to photograph them. And that's really kind of the key. I teach workshops, and I often get people that are there because they want to find out what's the formula for photographing people, and of course there is none. My approach is very direct, and somehow you have to gain acceptance. And there's not a theatricality involved, but on the other hand, you can be in situations that might be a little bit dicey and you can't show fear. I always thought if there's any kind of a factor that looks like it's getting a little bit on the hostile, I try to go right in the middle and diffuse it. But that's too dramatic. Most of my work is not like that at all. Most of my work is dependent upon someone allowing me into their space.
There is a story in the very end of the book about the picture you didn't take, which you chalked up partly to youth and inexperience, that you wanted to be respectful. But since this is a radio, nobody can see the pictures anyway. They have to imagine them. This is a picture that you still have in your mind.
Mm-hmm. I can still see it was a picture of a fighter named Big Cat Williams, who Muhammad Ali had virtually destroyed in a few rounds. And I knew everybody would go to Ali's dressing room. I went there, and then I went quickly to the losers. And it was only himself, his wife, that she was carrying this little Big Cat pennant, and a kind of vacant dressing room in the belly of the Houston Astrodome. And I was about to leave, and in walked this elderly African-American man, very short in stature and gray-haired. And Big Cat was in he was a big man, a heavyweight, and in his robe. And at one point, Big Cat just went down on his knees. And I realized then that this other man was a preacher. And he laid his hand on Big Cat's head. And I thought, I wanted to make the picture, but there was something. I was a Minnesotan. I was young. I thought, this is very intimate. Perhaps I shouldn't be here. And I opened the door, and I slowly closed it. And every time I think of that, I think, I'm sure that would have been fine with them.
Right.
I should have made that picture.
Right. But and since then, you probably learned when not to hesitate.
I still hesitate sometimes.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, you talked about the Amish. There's another group that I was not aware of called the Hutterites.
Hutterites. They've become like second family to me. They are one of the three Anabaptist groups we have in this country, the other two being the Old Order Amish and then a group called the Brethren, which I don't know much about. But Anabaptists, basically, they're not baptized till they're in adults. And the Hutterites, I first met and photographed in 1969. And of all the assignments I've had over the years, the many years, that's the one that I have continued to have a relationship with. So I go out in Montana, I stay at their homes. And they live.
You go to their weddings, as
yes,
we have seen
and
in the book.
Yeah. And funerals. And the difference, of course, about the Hutterites is that they live communally. They live on colonies. And they have two men. The women have a lot of influence, but have absolutely no power or voting power. But the two men, the boss and the preacher, if I go into a colony and say, I'd like to photograph here, if either one of those gentlemen says no, then I'm not going to. You have to be accepted.
We're talking to Bill Allard, photographer. Some of the other photographs are in, well, you go to really all parts of the world, Peru, Italy, and you know, all over Europe, really everywhere. And it's so interesting when you look at some of these photographs of people, you can see, even without, let's say, skin color features, you can see their country etched in the lines on their faces, yeah, in some way that seems so characteristic. Like you look at these photographs, you could never say those people were American. There's something about a place that is captured in people's faces.
Well, I've never really thought about it quite that way, but I've always felt, and it's a reach, but I've always felt if one makes a photograph well enough of a person, a portrait primarily, but a portrait can take many different shapes. If you make that photograph well enough, I think it's possible to introduce that person to someone, a country removed or a language removed, and yet they'll think that they kind of know something about that person. Even to the point, yeah, I think I'd know the kind of music that person would like or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the power of the photograph.
There's one photograph that you made in India of an older woman holding an infant, and I looked at that picture and I thought, this baby is an old person, and looked very sad. And then I read the text, and that's exactly what you said. Tell us the story of that picture.
That picture was taken in a place, a non-governmental organization that was dedicated to trying to teach untouchable midwives, because all the midwifery in India is done by untouchables, because they have to deal with blood, and that's, you know, pollutant
taboo.
It's taboo. But what they're trying to teach those women at that place is not to dispose of female babies, not to kill a female baby. There's a lot of that happens.
Yeah.
That particular child, a girl child, was found abandoned under a bridge somewhere, and someone found it before a dog or a pig or something else found it and brought it to that home. And it has that wizened kind of elderly look to it. Actually, sometimes I like it. It reminds me a little bit of a miniature Miles Davis.
It's so sad.
And then you see the size of the hand of that woman that's holding it. And this is, I write about this, so I can say it on radio just as well. One of the ways they dispose of a female child is to twist its spine like you would wring a rat. And then you look at the size of the hand of that woman that's holding it.
And you think about that.
There
are lots of quotations. There's a lot of writing that you did about the photographs and about your experiences of being a photographer in this book. The book is called 5 Decades, A Retrospective by William Albert Allard. And one of the quotations is something about color and composition being inextricable for you. You've always worked in color.
Yeah.
But tell us more about that.
Well, it's an area I'm not very good about. I can't really be articulate. I don't have the designer's vocabulary about color. But I've always felt, for me, it's rather intuitive. I think for everyone, color is a little bit different. And I love black and white. Norman's work, I look at his work, and black and white can be so wonderful, but I just don't see in black and white. I see in color, and I think I can kind of feel it, you know. And I wanted to point out that I am a writer as well as a photographer. In fact, I wanted to be a writer before I wanted to be a photographer.
Right, right, right. Let's turn to Norman Mauskopf. His book is called Descendants, and this is in great contrast. It's a wonderful contrast, these two books and these two exhibitions, which will be at the Verve Gallery of Photography starting tonight. You have made a whole book really centered on northern New Mexico. How did that project come to be?
It's just by way of clarification, it's about the Hispanic community in northern New Mexico.
Right.
And that project had a long gestation period. I moved here in 1990 and immediately plunged into a book on African American blues and gospel traditions in Mississippi. And but all the while, I was looking and absorbing and was quite taken with the Hispanic community here in northern New Mexico, with the traditional art, devotional art, and Jimmy Baca's poems struck me.
And there's one in the book.
And there's one in the book, that's right. And so I had done the book, finished the Mississippi book, and I too, like Bill, teach workshops. I've been teaching workshops for years, and I teach at the community college. And in 2000, I was fishing around for a project, and some students I had, we went to on a field trip up to Chimayo and on the high road, and the next day I was struck by three pictures, or more than three pictures, that some high school students in the class had taken. And I said, wow, I'd like to, I'm going to try to do something on my own. And that was the spark that lit the fuse. And that was in 2000, and the book was published last year in 2010.
So this is a 10-year-long project.
That's correct.
We were just talking with Bill about the importance of getting to know people and establishing trust. Did you get to know families and some of the people whom you photographed?
The key for me, as I'm sure it is for Bill also, are portraits. They're the key to getting to know where events are and who are the, not leaders within the community, but people see your portraits, and I give away, I still work in film, in traditional analog.
Black and white,
black and white,
silver.
Silver, and I give away lots of pictures, and I never go on a trip, be it to Mississippi or wherever, and photograph, and then I will not go back to the area again without having pictures from the previous trip with me, and or I will mail them before I go back. And the people see how I'm representing them, and hopefully they'll like what they see, and then we'll make referrals, you know, oh, you should go see so-and-so, or there's going to be a wedding, or there's going to be a family reunion. And then one thing leads to another, and then you build your project that way.
The book is called Descendants, and I was thinking about what that meant and why you chose that name and the old northern New Mexican Hispanic culture and where we are now, and there's a continuity but also very much of a discontinuity.
I'd like to think there's more of a continuity than a discontinuity. Part of what I was struck with was how these older traditions, the Roman Catholic traditions and the Matachinas and the artwork, manifest themselves in contemporary northern New Mexico in Spanish culture. And the title, Jimmy's poem, really gives meaning to the title. He links the contemporary culture to go, he goes way back to the Mayans and Montezuma and Cortez and takes my pictures, which are very contemporary, or a mix of the traditional and the contemporary, and kind of fuses them. And I wish there were a more romantic idea behind how that word Descendants became the title, but my publisher, Jack Woody at Twin Palms, likes one and two word titles, and Descendants was very apt in this case. So it's the combination of Jimmy's poem, my idea of the contemporary and the traditional, and then the mundane, short, one-word brevity.
We're talking to Norman Mauskopf. So you chose, I mean, you chose really to let the pictures speak for themselves without any text or explanatory material at all. And of course, reading through the book or looking through the book, one kind of wants to know some of the stories. Are there any particular stories that you want to tell us of any of those photographs?
Well, part of not having captions in the book, and there were no captions in the Mississippi book either, which is called A Time Not Here, was to let people, as Bill mentioned earlier, get a sense of who these people are and what the culture is about, without and letting them use their imaginations. You know, you don't want to give away the whole ball of wax. You want people to think, wonder, contemplate who these people are. So rather than identify, you know, a specific person or place, those people and those places, hopefully, if the picture is good enough and the sequence is interesting enough, will become representative or icons of whoever those people are. For example, in the book, there's a picture of Nicolas Herrera holding a little saint to no more. And Nicolas, although it would be nice to say, oh, this is Nicolas Herrera, who happens to be a very well-known Santero, he, by not having the caption in there, becomes the Santero that represents all Santeros. And the fact that his saint, To No War, is very contemporary and about a current, at that time, political issue, is the fusion of the traditional and the contemporary that I was after. Just as in the picture of the procession of La Conquistadora going past the Lotteburger, with a tourist sort of bringing up the lead. I had taken that picture, I think, in 2006, and then, unbeknownst to me, I discovered that in 1908, a photographer
1908.
I took my picture in 2008 or 2006, but in 1908, there's a photograph in the archive at the Palace of the Governors taken by a man named Candelario that shows the procession of La Conquistadora coming down St. Francis Street, taken from the roof of the old curio shop. And the procession is very small, and old curio shop, the signage and lettering is very prominent, and across the street there is a used furniture store and an owl, like a cigar store emblem. And so here in 1908 is the same fusion of the traditional and the contemporary. And so I don't know how we got from here to there, but that's kind of why there are no captions, or we want people to think and leave an element of mystery and ambiguity. And Bill and I both work with lots of clarity. I mean, you see what's in front of the camera, and there's a moment that's been captured but it's not explained. And that's the mystery, I think, of any great work of art, whether it's a poem or a novel or a painting or a good photograph. You know what you're looking at, but you don't really know what it's about. Bill captures the most incredible moments, idiosyncratic, you know. He photographs moments that you would think would be unphotographable, but yet he manages to create this little world from, you know, the things that's what's so wonderful about his work. It's hard to pin down, but...
Now, have you known each other's work for a long time?
Quite a long time. Norman has done the best book on rodeo that's ever been done, and nobody should try to do it anymore.
So, right.
I've admired his work for years, but what he was just saying, I think the best photographs often pose a question for which there may not be an answer. But the pictures you remember because they posed that question. They didn't give away the whole ball of wax.
Right. Unfortunately, it's time to go, but I want to encourage people to go to the opening of the at the Verve Gallery tonight. William Albert Allard with his book, Five Decades, a Retrospective. Norman Mauskopf with his book, Descendants. And both of their work will be shown there, and you guys will be hanging out
from
5 o'clock on at the Verve Gallery on Marcy Street. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We're going to take a break, and Linda Siegel will be with us with the legislative update in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel. She is with us every legislative session. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte. I'm glad to be back to be able to provide this service to everybody.
So what's happened in the first few days of the legislature? Just opened this week.
Well, of course, the first week is always sort of a lot of pomp and circumstance. We had the governor's State of the State speech, which many on the Democratic Party side thought was more of a campaign rally speech, but it certainly did appeal to the base of the governor's party. And then we had some unique situations where we had a challenge to the Speaker of the House, and that actually turned out to be sort of a letdown because the person who was going to run against the speaker didn't do it, and so the speaker was reelected on party line votes, with the exception of one Democrat. And then we've had some changes in committees in both the House and the Senate. The Senate Judiciary Chair, Cisco McSorley, has been the chair for a number of years, was removed, and the senator from Espanola, Senator Martinez, is now the chair of Judiciary. And our own Brian Egoff was taken off of House Appropriations because of the election of more Republicans. They had to put another Republican on there, but now he's the chair of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee in the House. So lots of changes that normally don't occur in a session like this, but everything's different now.
It'll be very interesting, and I think something that people who don't follow the legislature really closely think, yeah, chairman of this committee, that committee, who cares? But those are very, very important appointments. Why are they important?
Oh, absolutely, they are important. In both the House and the Senate, there are committees created as what we call kill committees, and those are where what one party may think of as bad bills go to be voted down or tabled or do not pass. And committee chairs are very important in making sure those kinds of things happen. Also, committee chairs are the ones that set the agendas for their committees and what when will the bills be heard, what order will they be heard in. Sometimes committee chairs hold bills and they don't get heard for a long time. So being a committee chair is a very powerful position, especially in committees like Judiciary and like the Appropriations, House Appropriations and Senate Committee. They really set the agenda and the tone and kind of dictate where we're going with bills.
So we have a Democratic legislature. We have a Republican governor who, if legislation is passed, can veto it if she doesn't like it. Do we expect, besides passing a budget, which is mandatory, to pass anything whatsoever?
Well, I think a lot of bills will be passed. There's a lot of discussion about how the budget is the biggest issue in the legislative session. Well, in reality, the budget is always one of the biggest issues because every year the legislature has to pass a budget, and every year that budget has to balance. It's not like the federal government where we can run deficits. This year, a little more discussion on it, as has been the past 2 years, because we're cutting things rather than expanding services. We're cutting back on services, and then the hot topics are education and Medicaid, but there's a whole lot of important programs that are contained within the budgets of state government, health and social service programs that are likely to be cut. But there will be lots of bills introduced. There's already 128 bills introduced in the House and over 100 bills introduced in the Senate, and there's some agendas that different political parties have and bills that they'll want to see passed. As we heard in the State of the State, the governor wants to repeal the repeal of the death penalty. She wants to remove driver's licenses from undocumented immigrants. Those are going to be controversial bills. So in any legislative session, there's only a few people that work on the budget, and then everybody else is working on all these other bills. So there's going to be lots of legislation happening, or at least trying to happen in this session.
And Linda Siegel will keep us up to date on all of it. Yay. Thank you, Linda Siegel, for being with us. And we're going to do it a little bit differently this year. Linda Siegel will be with us every Friday for a more extended legislative update. And then we'll also have one other day a week, which might vary a little bit, but we will see. So keep your ears tuned to the Radio Cafe, KSFR. Linda Siegel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Bye.
I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us every Friday. Speaking of the arts, hi.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Happy birthday.
Oh, that was just earlier.
Yeah.
That was a few days ago, but thank you.
You're welcome. I was going to bring you some pickles, but I forgot.
Oh, so man, with candles in them?
Next week. No, just homemade pickles.
Oh.
But next week.
Well, thank you. So what's going on this weekend?
All kinds of stuff and junk. There's a few openings tonight. Chuck Jones Gallery over there on West Palace Avenue is having an opening of drawings by our cartoonist over there at the New Mexican.
He
writes that wonderful Without Reservations cartoon.
He is very, very funny. I haven't met him. I hear he's a wonderful, wonderful guy.
He is. He's hilarious. And there is reception tonight at 5 p.m. at the Chuck Jones Gallery. So,
which is just right near the
135 West Palace Avenue, sort of below where Koi Restaurant is, across from where the old Palace Restaurant used to be.
That's right. When you go up Burrow Alley, you're practically there.
Yeah, and Chuck Jones is on the ground floor, I believe. What else? Oh, Santa Fe Clay is having a small sculptures group show with a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And that shows up through February 26th. Santa Fe Clay, of course, is over in the rail yard. If you sort of cross the tracks going outside of town and then take an immediate right, it's over there down by El Museo Cultural. What else? Verve Gallery Photography is having, of course,
the two fellows who we just had on.
That you just spoke. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And
they're
there's a wonderful
brilliant.
Story in the
Bill Pasatiempo. Allard and Norman Moskov.
I know. They're just brilliant. I won't gush, but they are very
gosh.
Brilliant.
They're good. Well, people just heard the show, so
yeah.
We have to go on. Yes.
What else is going on? Well, there's I want to get this out there. The inaugural performance by the New Mexico School for the Arts dance students is this evening at 7 p.m. at James A. Little Theater. This is the New Mexico School for the Arts that's downtown, and this is sort of, you know, they're young and fresh, and there's a wonderful photograph by one of the students from the school in the Pasatiempo calendar today. And so there's a performance by dancers tonight at 7 p.m. at James A. Little Theater. I believe there's also a performance on Saturday at 7 p.m. And if you call 310-4194, you can get more information on that. But this is sort of their inaugural performance, and it's a winter concert. And,
that's a wonderful thing, because the New Mexico School for the Arts is something that took a lot of work to get off the ground, and then here are these young artists from all over New Mexico who are part of it,
I have a friend whose son goes to the school, and he actually takes guitar from a lot of local musicians, and he came from sort of an unstructured sort of school background in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and he's at the school now, and although he's blown away by how intensive the program is, the learning curve there is really awesome.
And so it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they call it School for the Arts, you know, just because it's called School for the Arts doesn't mean they're not getting a real education. So they're
it's the best of both
worlds.
Way.
It is. But it allows them to sort of focus on their creative passions now, while getting an education.
Here is also an extremely important event, which is the Big Lebowski tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lenzik on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
The Dude Abides.
I think we went over this, was it last week, when I told you that I hadn't seen it from beginning to end?
El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Yeah. No. I mean, I get the whole dude thing, and I know that they have Big Lebowski sort of parties all over the country, and I read a story once where they throw these parties at bowling alleys all across the country.
Yeah.
And they hire liquor companies and distributors to come in and serve White Russians, which I believe is the dude's drink of choice. And in certain instances, these parties are so big that they clean out all of the milk in half and half within like a 3-mile radius. They buy all the milk in half and half in the entire. It's nuts.
Anyway, I think it's a great movie, even though it's not to everybody's taste. If you're into high culture and only high culture, you may not want to go. But otherwise, what do you think? Anyway.
Yeah.
tonight, Geist Cabaret. David Geist is at his Geist Cabaret in Pronzo, and he will be performing tonight and on Sunday. And it's always fun to go up there.
Sweet. You ever heard of Dan Byrne? Singer-songwriter Dan Byrne.
No.
Well, he's coming to town, and I urge a lot of people to go and check him out. He's a great singer-songwriter. If you like Springsteen, Dylan, Guthrie, you're going to love this guy. He's got a great tune out right now called Talkin' Tea Party Blues.
Uh-oh.
Enough said. He's performing 7 p.m. Saturday, January 22nd at the Santa Fe Performance Exchange, formerly Mike's Music Exchange. They've risen from the ashes.
Yay.
And if you call 466-3116 or go to, I believe, mikesmusicexchange.com or org, I'm not sure which. But you can go there and you can find out more information about Dan and the concert and all that stuff.
And every Friday night at the Lodge, salsa with DJ Sofrito up in the bar. And then tomorrow, Mambo Room, DJ Avi mixing salsa, bachata, and much more at El Patio Cafe on 2nd Street. That's from free dance class at 9 and then dancing all night long.
Another great concert on Saturday night is JT in the Clouds. It's a soulful folk rock at Corazon, 7:30 p.m. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo. If you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can buy tickets through the Lenzik there and call 988-1234 if you like and get tickets as well. What else is going on? Ooh, Beats on the Basin. You ever been to Beats on the Basin?
No.
Beats on the Basin is something they do at the Santa Fe Ski Basin every season. I believe there's five or six performances a year. And at Totemoff's Mid Mountain Bar, which I believe is at about 10,500 feet, they put on a show. A band comes up. They either have a DJ or a band. And this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m., they're going to have music by Soul Man Sam Evans. And this is the second in the concert series. And it says lift tickets or season passes serve as your cover. But if you want to drive up there and hike up to Totemoff's without a lift ticket, I'm sure they'll take your beer money.
Right.
All right.
And you'll deserve that beer.
Yeah.
Satchmo Shines On, Jan McDonald's tribute to Louis Armstrong. And that is January 23rd. What's that, Sunday?
January 23rd is Sunday,
Sunday,
yes.
Sunday at the Center for Spiritual Living from 4 to 5:30 in the afternoon. And I got that from the wonderful keyboard player, Bert Dalton. So check that out.
What else is going on? Ooh, Felonious Groove Foundation is having a performance at 8 p.m. on Saturday night at the Cowgirl. And this is their first performance of 2011. They're in the studio right now recording an album. And these guys are sort of funk, Latin, hip-hop, fusion, But they don't do it like a lot of other bands do that particular brand of fusion. I mean, you know, there might be some scratching and there might be some banjo. It's very interesting. But they're a great band. They're a fun bunch of guys. They really know their instruments. There's a small cover for it. It starts at 8 o'clock on Saturday.
And let's see. There is a very nice young woman just came in the other day and said that she is starting a new opportunity for singles to meet each other and having all kinds of singles events. And so tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Body of Santa Fe, it's called Singles Out, and it's yoga night for singles at Body. So for more information, you can go to singlesoutsf.com.
Can I tell you a funny story about Body?
Yes.
I went in there. My partner, actually, his ex-girlfriend was in town having a trunk show there. And she lives in Colorado. So when we found out she was having a trunk show, we went down there. And I have been to Body a lot. I've only been there a few times, and I've never used the restrooms. Anyway, I went in there, and I was sort of oogling the chocolates because they looked so good. And I the people going back and forth to the restroom, and it seemed like a lot of people. Anyway, towards the end of visiting with her, I had to go to the restroom, and I went in and was doing my business, and then all of a sudden there were all these naked people around me, and I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized that there was a yoga studio in there, and people were coming in and showering and changing and stuff like that. So I was sort of taken aback because I'd forgotten that they did that there.
They do yoga and dance classes and all kinds of good things.
Yeah. So, but that's interesting for singles. I wonder why they don't do that for couples, you know? Couples need friends, too. Anyway.
Well, I think everything else in the world is for couples.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yes. Having been single more of my adult life than not, I am very aware of what things are more couples-oriented and
I guess I don't get out enough to really, you know. Anyway, Satchmo Shines On.
I just read that one.
You did? Okay. New Mexico History Museum is having an opening on Sunday. It's A Noble Legacy, the USS New Mexico, an homage to the World War II battleship and its namesake nuclear submarine. The exhibit includes a model of the battleship, photographs of the ship and the submarine, and a screening of a documentary about the battleship. In honor of the ship and its crew, speakers George Perez and Dick Brown will discuss the exhibit. That's at 1 p.m. on Sunday at the New Mexico History Museum on Lincoln Avenue. Refreshments will follow. And the exhibit is up through May 9th by museum admission, of course.
And
that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Sunday, the 23rd of January at 4 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore and Coffee House, Elena Zachary and Jonathan Richards will read Dear Liar, which is a play adapted by Jerome Kilty from the letters between playwright George Bernard Shaw and Mrs. Patrick Campbell. And then on Wednesday the 26th, Craig Barnes will present the third in his series of seven evenings. He's doing a series called Democracy at the Crossroads and the Evolution of Civilization. And then the next day, Thursday, Beverly Spears will show slides and discuss her book, Sand River in Bloom, the Arroyo de los Chamizos. And a portion of that will benefit the Santa Fe Botanical Garden. It doesn't say what time that third one is, but you can just check out Collected Works Bookstore at their website. Just Google Collected Works Bookstore. And did I say that the Craig Barnes was at 6 in the evening? That's when all of his are. Okay.
Okay. You like you some salsa. Do you like tango at all? You a tango fan?
I appreciate it. I don't dance it.
No, you appreciate it from a distance. Stay on the same.
I will listen to it, but I don't know how to dance tango.
Well, on Tuesday, the Santa Fe Concert Association is presenting Argentine dance company Tango Buenos Aires, and that is at 7:30 p.m. at the Lenzic. And you can get tickets through ticketsantafe.org. There's a story on page 14. There's also a little sidebar about the local Santa Fe tango scene and santafetango.com. I believe you can get more information, but there's a story on page 14 in Paso Tiempo. That same day, on Tuesday the 25th, at Collected Works. Oh, no, it's not. It's actually at Peterson Student Center on St. John's College campus. Robert Allen Richardson, who is a tutor emeritus over there, is going to be reading from his story collection, Promptings of Necessity, which is a fun little book. It's got three different stories in it. I read them over the weekend last weekend, and they're great. If you appreciate country living, if you appreciate reading about the commonality of the struggles of the people that live in the country and the city have.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy the book a lot. And
excellent.
He's going to be reading at 7 p.m. on Tuesday over there at College of Santa Fe, or at the St. John's College.
St. John's College.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention also in the salsa vein, Cafe Mambo at El Farol is every Wednesday at 9 o'clock featuring salsa, bachata, merengue, cha-cha, etc. with DJ Sofrito. And that's 21 and over at El Farol.
There's a lot of salsa in this town. There's a lot of mambo. There's a lot of Latin
dance. There's a lot.
Dance.
Yeah, there's... I mean, it comes and goes. Sometimes there's nothing. Sometimes it is a wonderful embarrassment of riches.
Do you remember when swing used to be really popular in Santa Fe?
Yes.
That was like what, like 15 years ago?
Even more recently than that, I
really?
Think. Yeah, but definitely 15 years ago.
I think they still... I think somewhere around town they still do a swing dance. Weekly, but I haven't
probably
I haven't
the Odd Fellows. They used
probably
to do
Odd
it there.
Fellows Hall on Cerrillos Road. You're right. Have you been to the flea market at El Museo?
The flea market at El Museo? No.
Okay. Well, you should go on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and check it out. That's over there by Santa Fe Clay, so you could really kill two birds with one stone. You could go see
why
the
do
new
you
want to
kill
ceramics.
Birds?
Well, it's a figure of speech.
Oh, right.
I mean, although birds, some are delicious. I don't think that's the right way to go about getting them for your dinner. But anyway, the flea at El Museo is actually quite good. And from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can go over there and browse. You know, and knowing you, Mary Charlotte, you could get your Christmas shopping done almost an entire year early if you went.
You think I do things early?
No, you've proven that.
I Christmas shop on between the 19th and 23rd of December every year. Okay, the wandering storyteller Nancy King is going to be reading from her work on Sunday, the 23rd of January at the Wild Oats Community Center, right on Cordova Road. You can go to nancykingstories.com for more information or call 988-5333. It's part of the Writers Read series.
Thursday the 27th is, of course, the Santa Fe Art Institute's monthly open studio.
Yay!
Yay! Meet and greet with writers and artists in residence at 5:30 p.m. That's over there on St. Michael's Drive on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, formerly the College of Santa Fe.
Formerly CFS, now SWAD.
SWAD.
We say that every week, but we probably will say it every week in the future, too. JT in the Clouds with Anthony Leon and the Chain at Corazon this Saturday, tomorrow at 7:30. You can check out CorazonSantaFe.com.
What else is going on? Oh, January 25th, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m., Corazon. Go check out folk rock duo Peter Wolf Crier and the Retribution Gospel Choir. So you got a crier and a choir going on there. Sort of lo-fi, soulful, folk rock, and then Retribution Gospel. Both of these bands are from Minnesota. So if you want to go give them some Midwest love, Corazon would be the place to do it at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 25th. Believe this is an over 21 or 21 and over show. You can get tickets online at CorazonSantaFe.com and at the door. For advanced tickets, you can go to CorazonSantaFe.com. That's going to be a great show. What else? Ooh, I got to talk about heavy metal for a second and why we see so much of it at Warehouse 21, but we don't see a lot of it in the bars and clubs anymore. Would love to see more. A lot of these bands are young, but very, 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 very talented musicians. At 6 p.m. on Friday, January 21st, you can go
that's
see...
Today. That's called Today.
And I love some of these names. Prey Among Wolves, As In We, and a Machine, and Fields of Elysium. 6 p.m. tonight, Warehouse 21, over there in the rail yard, 1614 Paseo de Peralta. Small cover, just because it's Warehouse 21, and people call it the Teen Art Center, because that's what the city sort of... That's the sort of deal they made. These are all ages shows. No alcohol, no drugs, no fighting.
No fighting.
No fighting.
Oh, that's good.
Can't
what
we
a
all
re-
just
what
get
a
along?
Relief.
Yeah. And then also on the 22nd, the next night there at Warehouse 21, is a punk concert. I'm not even going to try and pronounce some of these names, but Another State of Mind and HN88 are two of the bands playing. That's 7 p.m., another small cover. If you call 989-4423 or go to warehouse21.org, you can probably find out more information.
My favorite band name remains the one from Boston from, I think, back in the 80s, Hell Toupee.
As in the
little wig on your head, toupee.
Oh, that is precious.
That was precious. Did you know that 10,000 Waves is having a movie night? They're showing tonight at 7 o'clock, they're showing a movie called Departures 2008. And it's in their relaxation room, and it's about, the storyline is, a devoted cellist finds himself without a job. He answers a classified ad entitled Departures, thinking it's for a travel agency, but the job is actually for a funeral professional who prepares bodies for burial and entry into the next life.
Okay.
Just saying. That's what they sent me, and that's what's happening tonight, so check it out.
And that's at the, did you say a relaxation room?
Yeah, 10,000 Waves.
I would love to have a relaxation room.
I know. My whole house is the relaxation room.
Because at first I didn't get it. I imagined like one of those big inflatable screens set up like in front of the public tub, and like everyone sort of sitting in the water getting all wrinkly watching a movie.
Yeah.
Well, that would be cool.
Hey, I got a note from Barry Lovewave. So it's Camp Lovewave 10th birthday celebration. And she says, where does the timelessness go? Drop by 11 a.m. this Saturday right here on KSFR. Camp Lovewave.
Sweet.
Yep.
Museum of Spanish Colonial Art is also having an opening on, this one is on Saturday the 22nd. It's called Collecting New Mexico, the Forgotten Katie Wells. Historic New Mexican Art from the Artist Collection through August 28th. And there's a story in today's pod. It's a great story. Cover story in today's Positiempo.
I think we're going to be doing a show on that.
Oh, cool.
So keep your, I'm not sure what day yet, though, so keep your ears tuned.
How do people see the art through the radio?
Well, they use what we call their imagination.
Oh. Mm. You know, I just noticed that there's new artwork up at the Santa Fe Baking Company, and some of it is really cool.
Yeah, big, big cactuses.
David Sloan.
And many other things, yep. Let's see.
Spacemen.
Tomorrow night.
Cacti.
Tomorrow night at Gig Santa Fe at 7:30, Donald Rubenstein will be playing.
Playing what?
He's a singer-songwriter, and he's been, let's see, he composed the score to George A. Romero's cult classic film Martin, which was named one of the top 100 coolest soundtracks of all time by Mojo Magazine in 2002. He's released 22 CDs. Ranging from rock, jazz, experimental, does TV and movie scores and stuff like that.
What else is going on in the movie?
Yeah,
sphere?
What else is going on in the movies?
I know. I heard your interview yesterday with the William Burroughs folks.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's tonight at 6 o'clock, the William Burroughs movie. William S. Burroughs, A Man Within, is screening at the CCA, and there will be a Q&A by Kathleen Gray, who was actually a pretty good friend of William Burroughs and did curated shows that he did and stuff like that.
You know, my first experience, when I lived in Lawrence, Kansas for a year back in 1999, and I was working as a consultant at a restaurant up there, and I got there after a 10-hour drive, and I was thirsty, and I wanted to have a drink. And they were like, well, instead of having a drink here, we want to go and show you something. So they took me up the street on Massachusetts Avenue to a place called Liberty Hall. Liberty Hall was one of William Burroughs' little hangouts. And we went up and partook of whiskey and other things in this building that had a lot of history and felt a little haunted to me. And it sort of creeped me out.
Well... You know,
but there's a great review. There's an interesting review, I will say, of this film.
It's a well-made film. It was made by a 25-year-old guy. It's his first feature film. It's a documentary. And he did a very good job. And don't forget The Legend of Pale Male, which is still there, which is one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
And, well, it's time to go. Rob DeWalt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to go get my hair cut now.
Your haircut?
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to get all of them cut, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good. We'll see you with shorter hair on the radio next week.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. Podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. You can friend me there. Lots of friendship going on. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Okay.
Drive safe out there, everybody.
Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company live. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week, Rob DeWalt.
Sure.
Ciao.